If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process. From syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns, automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor, and Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, is traveling. He's in Medellin, Colombia. We turn our eyes to Havana because there is strikingly unusual news from Havana. It's positive. It will be qualified, but I'm going to say it's positive at first. It's called perfeccionamiento. Joseph will do this correctly, or means perfection of socialism. It translates into you can start a barbershop and keep the profits. You can sell lemonade and keep the profits. Small businessmen are invited again. Joseph, first, Financial Times reporting is very helpful here. I didn't know small business wasn't possible. And second, it is a step in a direction that in some fashion empowers the young people of Cuba. However, I can't not associate this with the violence that's taken place these last weeks since the protests. The bully boys, the black berets, brutalizing people who were said to have participated in the protests. Do you connect this perfection of socialism with the brutality?
Oh, absolutely. This is a way that the Cuban regime is going to try to whitewash all its crimes against the protesters, its human rights violations. And this is say, hey, look, you know, we're going to try this. Perfeccionismo, which is basically what you mentioned, John, which is perfecting socialism, which that's kind of an oxymoron in itself, right? And so this has been a conversation that's happened in Cuba before, right? They try to pick the winners and losers. What they're not going to do is they're not going to have structural reforms to their economic makeup. You know, my old economic professor used to always tell me that in any country you have macroeconomic problems, but you only have microeconomic solutions. And what they're not going to do is change the incentives and the structure so that they can have microeconomic success in Cuba. What they're going to try to do is pick the winners and losers. So there's going to be certain industries and sectors that they're going to try to open up to have medium to small business, but only so that they can have a little bit more of capital inflow that's going to be controlled by their central bank and be controlled by their military, which allows them to have more money for the Cuban regime. This is most easily represented in the tourism industry. Tourism in Cuba is one of their, you know, even though it's a small industry because Cuba has a failed economy, but it is still one of the biggest industries on the island. And in the tourism industry, as you mentioned, John, you couldn't have hotels or shops or gift shops or little small businesses because everything in the tourism industry was controlled by a military holding company called Gayesa. So I think there's certain sectors that are absolutely not going to allow. I think architects, journalists, lawyers, they will not be allowed to be independent of the regime. But certain ones, I think in certain sectors that they think is not going to cause damage and will just allow them to have more capital inflow, will allow it. But this is not going to change the circumstances in Cuba. This is not going to change their attitude towards the protesters, the repression or human rights violations, or their foreign policy or geopolitical alliances. And this is kind of moving in the direction of a kleptocracy or crony capitalism, however you want to call it, something that Putin has perfected in Russia. And I think that this just puts more empathy in the hands of the protesters because they're not just talking about we want to have small, medium enterprises or we want to be able to have more remittances. They want freedom, just in a very basic sense, the freedom to speak, just to be able to say, I don't like this and not have the fear of going to prison. And that's the basic freedom that the Cubans are asking for. And I think we have to support that. Anything less is really just watering down their effort.
Do I say correctly, Joseph, that the Black Berets brutalized the protesters and anybody sympathetic to them, and we do not know how badly the people were treated. We do not know how many were arrested. Is that all accurate, Joseph?
Yeah, we have numbers, but, you know, as you mentioned, John, we don't have, you know, they're far from being perfected numbers. The most reliable numbers come from Florida, come from people, human rights and other NGOs in Florida that obviously are monitoring the situation. I've heard upwards of 500, even more than close to 1,000 folks have been arrested in the last several weeks. But the Black Berets are one of those entities that have really shown that they have a brutal crackdown capability. You know, Cuba doesn't have this kind of protest that often. We've seen it in Venezuela. We've seen it in Peru. We've seen it in Colombia. We've seen it in other countries in Latin America. And oftentimes the Cubans are involved in those protests. But we haven't seen it at this scale in Cuba probably since the 90s, as we mentioned before, in the famous Malecónazo. And so in this case, the Black Berets really showed themselves. And they're under sanctions in the United States, but we have to do a lot more pressure to get that entity off the streets in Cuba. I think one of the things that I've noticed that has been somewhat effective is the internet, because the more you can show them, the more that they hide. And I think that that's been somewhat positive in kind of taming the protest. I'm taming the crackdown on the protest just slightly in the recent days and weeks.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the columnist for The Americas and editor for The Americas for the editorial page of The Wall Street Journal, has a column in these last hours about the Biden administration and Cuba, and the headline tells the story, Biden is failing Cuba's uprising. The question is, what is the Biden administration policy towards Cuba and this brutality? Mary O'Grady writes, Mr. Biden's progressive flank remains faithful to its beloved revolution. And then there's a quote from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that is illustrative of how the left in America has a sentimental attachment to something that never existed. Do you see the Biden administration sharing in that, or is this just pragmatic politics?
Well, I think the Biden administration has a lot of foreign policy failures in a very short amount of time. We could talk about Afghanistan, we could talk about the border, and I think you could add Cuba to that list. And what I think Mary's talking about is some of the people that are in the positions to advise the president on Latin America policy, on Cuba policy, are individuals that were involved in the Obama administration when that administration rekindled diplomatic relations with Cuba. So they have that sympathy to that policy in the past, which I would argue it'd be interesting for someone in that administration, someone that has that sympathy, to showcase evidence that the rekindling of diplomatic and trade relations with Cuba actually led to a positive change. I want to see that evidence because I have not seen it. I mean, it's been 5 years since, or actually more now in 2021, 6 years since we've had that position. And now you could argue that Trump, the President Trump administration reissued some sanctions. But even if you go from 2015 to 2017, show me where the economy really soared in Cuba, or show me where the political situation really changed on the island. And I don't see it. And I think the lesson learned here is the more money that goes into Cuba, the more the regime hardens itself and is able to prop up its repressive apparatus. So I think that the Biden administration should abandon their policies of the past, even if from previous administrations, and really set a new chart for Cuba, something that looks at the regime in a realistic way, in a way that doesn't want to imagine what we would hope they would become, but imagines them from what they are and manages the situation from that starting point. And I would hope that they would not use this as an opportunity to try to end the embargo or things like that, because at the end of the day, the embargo has become more of a symbol than it has been an actual practical effect. Cuba can trade with anybody.
Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Find out and get your tang on, Ohio.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.